Blog Talk Radio.
Frank, you ready? Yeah, run that back.
Alright,
here we go.
Oh no. It's been a while since I've been up in the booth. Feels good. Feels like 98.com. Oh. Fake Rob, delay up in NYC, I see you, dog. Plugs locked up. I got you, though. Free plugs. Had to do it to him. Swiper boy, take notes. Class about to start. Finally, got on a track with Bobby. We chilling in the penthouse while the haters in the lobby. 22 and already on a website supposed to dismaze, but it just don't feel right. Let's take a second, take some time to appreciate the boy that led Tennessee to that elite eight. But it's still sad to stop and think about, though. We'd have cut the Nets down if Austin made his free throws. But that was back then, yeah, it's in the past. Me and Maze up on this beat, taking names and kicking ass. We flying by you like a Tyler Bray pass. Folks finna be on top, you ain't even gotta ask. We scoring all day in that checkerboard grass. Make Alshon Jeffrey look like he pumping gas. BMB ham, man, not even somewhat. Your team look as ugly as Mud Champ's butt cut. Don't get me started on that loser Mark Rick yet. He looks just like Kellen Hunt in a headset. This has been a pleasure, yeah, man, it's been great. Shout out to B-Maze and feels like 98. What? What?
It's 9 o'clock on your dial, God's time. Fake Rob Lewis drilling by. I don't even know what to call you anymore since you left Twitter. I used to go into like the internet megawatt, legendary, yada yada, superstar Trent Floods. I guess I'm just going to say just joined by Trent Floods now. Trent, welcome to the show, pal.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. You know, we got a big show tonight. Got Coach Donnie Tindall joining us. He'll start joining us every week to break down Tennessee basketball and basketball across the country. Really looking forward to him jumping on here in a few minutes. While we wait on that call, buddy, there have been some questions being asked about you in the Twitterverse. And like I said, when we got Coach on the horn, we'll carry on the conversation after the interview, but. I mean, Trent, I guess I'm just going to open up the floor to you. Where'd you go?
Well, Jerry, there's still time to save Trent Flubs. I have maybe 10 more days that I can log in, and that account elimination will be negated. So what happened was when Nick Chubb went down, I made a little joke about it, thinking that I was just joking amongst friends. It turns out there was a spy on our message board. He tweeted out what was written. It went viral. I was threatened. And when I'm threatened, I run.
Yeah, right. I mean, just like any alpha male would do, you just kind of turn around and sprint the other way. Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, Twitter's good. It has been. You missed a big win over Georgia, obviously. You were gone by the time that ended.
Yeah.
You know, we've been waiting for this big win to share together on Twitter, and I go to tweet Trent Flubs, and you know, I got that error message. Do you think you're coming back? I mean, the guys need you. Seth, use popcorn. Everybody's asking about you, dude. Let's get the gang back together. I mean, that's one thing they kept saying over and over. They said, A, that's awesome. Can't wait to hear Coach Tindall. B, where in the hell is Trent Flubs, and what do we have to do to get him back? The mouthpiece, the guy we met at the tailgate. That dude, I mean, he's heartbroken. He's absolutely heartbroken. Talk
great
about
guy,
all the
time. By the way. Great guy.
Yeah, yeah. They're all outstanding people. And listen, you know, look. Anybody that listens to you on here, anybody that reads your posts on message boards, you don't wish any ill will on anybody.
No, I don't wish.
No, you're
Nick Chubb, I would cook Nick Chubb dinner. What do I care? You know, he's a football player.
Absolutely. And from all of us here, it feels like 98. Get well soon, Nick Chubb. We did beat your football
absolutely.
Team. Hey, listen, get well soon, dude. We can't wait to see you in the league. Look at Todd Gurley. I drafted him. I'll draft Nick Chubb. I will draft Nick Chubb in the first round next year if you come back to Twitter. I don't even know if he's a senior. I don't even know if he's going to be in the NFL. But I will vote. I will draft Nick Chubb in the first round of my fantasy draft next year if you come back to Twitter.
I think he's
and
a
so
sophomore.
I'm still going to draft him.
Just
first round.
Okay.
Nick Chubb. I'll eat it. I mean,
I'm
going to eat. My terrible anyway.
Jerry, who actually wishes? I'm glad he was knocked out of the game, you know. I don't wish him, like, permanent injury or anything like that. Who wishes that? Why do I care, you know? I don't want him to be injured forever, you know?
Let's talk. I know. And listen, I think we're all ready to move past that. I think we're ready for a Trent Flubbs return, and I really think we're going to get it. Because if not, I will ban you from our message board, and you can't go a day without having an internet presence. And I will log in under your Twitter account and tweet as you if I have to, because you know I've done that on the message board before when you've done your little I'm leaving thing.
When I say I'm quitting Twitter, I quit Twitter and my message boarding goes up 10,000%. So if I quit the message board, Twitter goes up 10,000%. So it's all evening out one way or another.
Trent, we haven't had a chance to talk about that. God, maybe we have. I don't even remember. Did we talk? I don't think we talked about the Georgia victory.
No, you didn't do a Jerry Cast after the Georgia game.
I didn't Jerry Cast post Georgia. I'm sure there was a good reason, probably not. But listen, that was Sig win territory for you, if I recall correctly. And I do believe I do recall correctly. And I know you hate Georgia. Hate them.
I do. Yeah.
So I mean, Trent,
can't stand
you
them.
Being and go ahead.
No, I think they're our biggest rival by far. I can't stand them. I think that, they are the epitome of, I don't know how to put it. They're the epitome of just being okay with kind of getting through, you know? I mean, just being fine with that that nine-win season. I mean, they're going to sign you to a lifetime contract. If you can give them 9, 8, 10-win seasons, you know, you're good. You're good forever in Athens.
I mean, are you good forever in Knoxville?
Well, man, we can only wish to have that, you know. So I don't know. Maybe you know what I'm saying. Eventually, eventually, Mark Rick. I mean, come on. Eventually, you've got to win something.
Yeah, I kind of like that they don't, just because Georgia's. I mean, on a personal level. And not even sporting event. On a personal level, Georgia is inferior to Tennessee in pretty much in every benchmark. Every
absolutely.
Single measure.
Yeah.
They're absolutely inferior to Tennessee. I mean, you can talk about anything you want to, and Tennessee's at least a notch or two above. So I do enjoy that nothing ever, like, tremendous happens to them. Like, they get a little taste. And then, you know, it's kind of all over, but the crime there. So you beat Georgia, big win, sig win, and then you transition to the bye week. You enjoy it. You listen to you didn't, but I enjoyed Georgia fans, you know, bitching and saying, you know, what they like to say on Twitter. Obviously, a lot of misspellings, grammatical errors for days, et cetera. So it's actually still dealing with that today. I think we had a mad guy by the name of Brian on there who just couldn't quite figure out the English language. And, you know, sometimes it does have us all in a headlock. It just seems like it was more of a submission move on him. Again, that's another thing you miss on Twitter. But, you know, then you get in the Alabama game, and I do want to talk about that. But I do believe we have Coach Donnie Tindall on the line here, so I definitely want to get him in. Coach Tindall, are you there?
I am. How you doing?
Good, sir. Good, sir. Hey, as we talked about yesterday, my favorite time of the year has finally arrived. So we really appreciate you joining us on the show, and we really look forward to your insight throughout the basketball season.
Well, I'm honored you guys want me to be part of it. I'm looking forward to it as well, and I think we'll have a lot of fun this winter. I really do.
I do too. Now, listen, I want to keep it really basic with this interview because we're about, I think, November 6th is tip for us, and so we're a couple weeks out. You got the NBA going, but I do want to focus a little bit on Tennessee here. I've never been a fan of preseason predictions. I've always been a proponent of waiting a couple weeks, let things shake out, see who looks like what, then start your rankings and yada, yada. But I understand that, you know, it's a fan thing. It gets conversation going. And we haven't been predicted to finish very well this year. Looking at the roster, Coach, what do you identify as our strengths and then our weaknesses? And then if you could talk a little bit about the weaknesses and how you, as a coach, would scheme to kind of disguise them as best you could.
Well, you know, I'm like you. I'm not a big fan of the preseason stuff because you just never know how impactful recruits are going to be. You don't know if a coaching change is taking place, whether that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing. But, you know, we were picked last season or 13th in a couple polls and ended up finishing 10th, and I know there was a lot of people, including our administration, that didn't know if maybe we could win 9 or 10 ball games and went 16-16. So I think Coach Barnes is going to surprise some people. I do. I mean, when you look at their roster, the first thing you're going to say is, well, they're going to miss Josh Richardson, and there's no ands, ifs, or buts about that. He was a great player, and we slid him over to the point for his senior year, and he had the ball in his hands about 80% of the time and really made his teammates better, and they're going to miss him. But, you know, I think guys like Kevin Punter is a guy who I think will make a nice jump from last year to this year. He works really, really hard in the gym on his own. Armani Moore is as tough as anybody in the SEC and had a great junior season. And from what I've read, they're going to use him at some different positions, so he'll be a real versatile guy. I think the biggest thing when you just look at their team is going to be how are the new guys going to impact the front line, and are they going to find anyone that can step up and play the point guard position? And if so, then I think they're, again, a team that can surprise some folks.
Trent, I think you had a social media question, correct?
Yeah. Hey, Coach. First of all, I am not knowledgeable about basketball. It's not, and I mean, no offense, it's not my favorite sport. I'm a football fan, but I do have a question for you. Throughout the years, my co-host and I have witnessed several family members or parents of players that will join message boards and begin posting. And without exception, every time it ends in disaster. And I'm just curious if you ever tried to instruct your players or family members of players to stay out of that fray.
Well, I'll be honest. I've never read message boards anywhere I've ever coached. I think in most cases, obviously, it's fun for the fans, but people get so negative on there that if you read it, you're just going to waste time worrying about people that, you know, what's the old saying about message boards, guys? They're living in the basement of their mom and dad's house eating bologna sandwiches, and they're pissed off the guy won't run the play they want him to run, you know. So I never put much stock in it. But one thing I have always talked to my teams about are just the dangers of social media, both themselves and their family. When things are said on a message board or through Twitter or Facebook, sometimes they can be misconstrued. Sometimes they are what they are, but it causes some animosity and people spitting out some venom, if you will, and just what you said, not much good can come from it. So I have kind of always told my guys to stay away from those things. Unfortunately, you can't control everybody, and you can't control everything, and if people's parents or brothers or sisters or aunts or uncles want to get on the message board and say certain things to be critical of teammates or coaches or whatever it may be, they're going to do it. And it's unfortunate, but it's certainly the life you live if you're a college football, basketball, baseball coach in today's day and age. I hate it. I really do, guys. But it's the way of the world now.
I think we hate it too, actually, even though we participate in it. I think that we wish that we could go back to the days where I had to go to the gas station to get a Knoxville News Sentinel to read things that happened 3 days ago rather than find out things that happened 10 seconds ago. And, you know, the one thing that kids don't get is that when you tweet something or put anything on social media, it's out there forever. You're not getting it back. No, and you may say it in the heat of the moment, but it's just out there. You can't take it back.
Well, you know, and when you've gone through something like I've went through, and of course I've had great teams and great wins, and when people are saying nice things, it's all good. But, you know, when you go through something like I've went through, and you know for a fact that 99% of everything that's been written about you is false and untrue and wrong, and your daughters and your mom and dad have to read that stuff, that's what bothers you. Because then people are getting on there adding comments about you as a person and talking about your character, and your girls are reading that stuff, and that's when you just really want to say, wow, this stuff is over the top. But again, it's the life we lead, and you know, it's not going to change. If anything, it's probably going to continue to grow and get worse.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head there. When you can hide behind what is even seen as a shred of anonymity, and you don't have to say it to somebody's face, and perhaps your who you are is unknown, I think you're more apt to go way over the top. And I completely agree with you. I enjoy the quickness of getting my news in Twitter and things like that. But when you look at fan play interaction, sometimes it's just cringeworthy. But I thought that was a really good answer. I do want to look at players that you've coached as we go on each week. And today I want to look at Robert Hubbs. I want you to talk a little bit about him. He kind of reminds me of in terms of his progression, going back a little bit, looking at a Jordan McRae and then maybe a Josh Richardson, as he progressively seems to get better every year. Coach, what do you think his ceiling is?
Well, you know, I said this all last season. I really enjoyed coaching Robert. I think he's a fine young man. His mom and dad are good people. He's coachable. He's not a guy that's going to have bad body language or talk back to you. You know, I've got nothing to say negative about Robert. The thing is, again, in today's day and age, when guys rank you as a 5-star or a 4-star or mm-hmm. 27 star or whatever it is, these guys have so much pressure already on their shoulders before they dribble a basketball in a college uniform. And in Robert's situation, you know, he had to sit out and miss most of his freshman year with the shoulder surgery. And then he has a coaching change, and he's trying to rehab his shoulder and get healthy, plus going through a coaching change. And I thought that at times last year he showed spurts of some of the mm-hmm. highly rated potential he has. But, you know, the one thing about Robert is, and I hope he's really improved over the summer, is he plays upright. By that I mean he plays a little bit stiff. And we work extensively with him, getting lower to the floor both offensively and defensively, because offensively, if you play upright, you can't drive the ball and turn the corner on guys. Defensively, if you can't bend your knees and get in a stance, you can't keep people in front of you. So that's the biggest thing. If he's gotten better at that, I think he'll improve again this season. I don't think he's got the ceiling that a Jordy McRae or Josh Richardson have, just because I don't think he handles the ball like those guys. I don't think he's a quick twitch athlete like those two guys. So, you know, that's just my humble opinion. I hope he goes on to be an All-American and a lottery pick. But I think Robert's a good, solid college basketball player who's a great kid and was really coachable the year I got to coach him.
Coach, talk a little bit about when I look on the message boards and try to see what people are expecting this year. They worry about the front court, and as we talked about yesterday, we've got a couple of new guys coming in from Canada. Are those the type of guys that can at least hold their own through conference play, or should we expect some weaknesses there this year?
Well, you know, last year we basically had a guy in Willie Carmichael, who was a young freshman, and then Tariq Owens, another tall, lanky freshman that both got mm-hmm. better as the year went along. And I think I think the two guys they have in Kabongo and the 6'11 kid they signed from Canada are similar. Yeah, Alexander. Those guys are similar to Willie and Tariq in the fact that they're talented guys. They're pretty athletic, but it's going to take them a year or two to get used to the level of play, the competition, the physicality of SEC games, all the things my two guys went through a year ago. So I don't think their front line is going to be dominant. I don't think their front line is going to be a front line where you throw it to them on the post and they get you buckets. They're going to get their baskets on tip-ins, on help-ups or help-overs where they can get drop-offs and get dunks on the at the rim, maybe run the floor in transition and get a cheap basket occasionally. That's how they're going to have to score. And so it's just the nature of, you know, kind of like we took over last year with four returning guys, it was in rebuilding mode. There's no other way to say it. And I think Coach Barnes, it's not quite as bad as when we took it over from a number standpoint, but it's similar in that it's going to take them some time to get his guys in there and get these young bucks a little bit stronger and put some weight on them.
Well, and along the lines with Armani Moore, also, I thought you did a really good job last year. I thought Jabari McGee played a lot bigger than his listed size, and getting him back off of injury, I think, will be nice for the team as well.
I agree, because Jabari is a little bit different from the two other guys in the fact that he brings a little more physicality. Again, he's not a true post scorer, but he's more physical. He gives you five extra fouls around the goal. He's going to play hard. He's going to compete every night for you. So I think he's going to be a nice piece of the puzzle for him.
Coach, like I said, I really want to talk some X's and O's. I want to save it for next week. So I'm going to transition real quick to get some predictions from you from the NBA. And then I got a sneaker question for you. obviously, we got tipped off 2 days ago. You know, through our conversations, I'm a massive Nuggets fan, huge Ken Free fan. So I'm obviously pleased with them going down to Houston and embarrassing the Rockets yesterday. Thought Moutier looked great. Thought Fareed looked really good at the five while Nurkic is out. I do want some predictions from you. I want your finals matchup, your finals champion, your MVP, your rookie of the year, and your coach of the year.
Wow. That's tough, man. That's tough.
I know.
Well,
I know.
I spent 2 weeks with the Raptors this summer and a week with the Pistons in Orlando and Vegas for summer leagues. And so I had a chance to see a lot of these rookies play in person and coach against some of them. And I'll start by saying this. It's amazing how good these guys are, even the guys that are in the D-League teams and can't make an NBA roster are really, really good players. I mean, so, I'll say this. I think that the coach of the year, I'm going to start with Billy Donovan. He's a friend of mine, and I've always been a guy that's looked up to him, and he's been a mentor to me for a lot of years and helped me get a couple different jobs. And, you know, he inherits a situation where there's a lot of pressure because they're supposed to win, but I think he's going to be a guy to do exactly that. I think he can lead them to the finals if Durant and Westbrook stay healthy. So on the West, I'm going to say OKC. The East, you know, I don't think you can hardly pick against Cleveland and LeBron. But I will say this. I spent a lot of time with the Raptors, and they're a team. I'm not saying they'll beat the Cavs, but they're a team that can push the Cavs and maybe surprise some people to at least be in the conference finals against Cleveland. MVP, I think it's going to be LeBron's year. I think he's lost some weight and very, very focused. I read an article the other day where he realizes his years are quickly going by, and this is a big year for him. So I'll pick the Cavs versus the OKC. I'll pick the Cavs to win it, LeBron to be MVP. And my rookie of the year is a guy that I saw play about six times in Vegas, and I was really, really impressed, and that's Moutier, your guy at Denver. He is a grown man. You know, he handled the ball, playmate. He was a guy that looked like he was a six-year NBA veteran out there. The game just comes easy to him. He's got great size for a point guard. He's shooting it a little bit better. At least he was in exhibition games. Mm-hmm. And I think the sky's the limit for that guy. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, he had a lot of turnovers last night, but, you know, you go against Patrick Beverley, that's to be expected. But now you talk about his shooting. I think he had 17-9 on about a 50% clip. And, you know, with all the expectations coming out, you know, with him this year, I thought he answered the bell really well. I look forward to seeing how he does over 82 games. Coach, before I let you go, I can't wait to get back next week and actually pick your brain about some X's and O's. I think that's one of the better things about you. I think you just you obviously understand the game of basketball better than most. I saw a tweet today, and I know you're a sneaker guy, so I wanted to make sure you saw it. I know you're on Twitter. Michael Jordan selling a house. Along with that house, he is offering every single shoe he's ever come out with to come along with the house. I just wanted to – listen, I just wanted to – I'm not saying you should buy it. I'm just saying it's something to think about.
Well, you know, my daughters only live for about 45 minutes from Chicago. And obviously I'm a huge shoe guy. So two of the three things kind of fall into place. The problem is I don't have a job, so the $15 million is going
to
come pretty hard.
Let's get you that next contract. How about that?
That sounds good. I hope he doesn't sell his house by the time I'm back coaching, you know?
But it isn't going to be long. I can tell you that much. A guy like you doesn't stay out of the game. Coach, let's do it next week.
Okay. Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yes,
Thank
sir.
You.
Take care, Coach. Coach Donnie Tindall, I'll tell you what, that is so cool that he's going to join us throughout the week and talk basketball. You said it. You hate the game of basketball. You think it's stupid. You make fun of me all the time. You talk about the culture and the rap music and all this stuff that I shouldn't like. But listen, that's really cool for that guy. I was so excited about that hire simply because that man knows basketball. He can relate to players. He got it done at Morehead State. He got it done at Southern Miss. He was like you said, he exceeded expectations. Got to 16 wins at Tennessee with a team he had to put together overnight virtually. Somebody is going to get a heck of a coach. That's all I'll say. But Flood, I thought your question was nice. You being a message board legend. To kind of pick the brain of a coach who has to deal with that type of thing. I'll tell you what, he hit the nail on the head, though. Can you imagine going through what he went through and having to read some of that stuff, or having your family having to read some of that stuff?
No, and that is very cool. I mean, he seems like a really down-to-earth guy, and I'm not a basketball fan, but I was rooting for him, and it's pretty crappy that he only got one season at Tennessee. You know, I don't really know the details of why or who's to blame, and it's not important, but I was rooting for him. He seems like a great guy, so wish him the best.
Let's get back to what you know. Outside of the band Kiss, high fat, low carb diets, and politics. I do want to get political as we go on into the winter. Not tonight. So So where we cut off was big Georgia win, nice bye week in which you did not participate on Twitter. And here we go into Alabama. I would have bet anything that we were going to get dismantled in Tuscaloosa, absolutely embarrassed in Tuscaloosa. I thought Alabama comes and beats the hell out of Georgia, they go to A&M, everybody said, oh, that's the upset. They beat the hell out of A&M. They come back home to a crazy crowd. The team that used to be their rival, Tennessee, comes to town. We're one drive away. Floods, the people of Twitter who listen to this podcast did not get to hear your meltdown, your thoughts like I did. So I want you to take about 90 seconds and just talk about the Alabama game and just let it take you where it met.
Yeah, I didn't care about it one way or the other because I knew we had no chance. I thought we destroyed. I don't consider it a moral victory. I thought we played fairly well. I thought they were incredibly flat. Very tired. We didn't get killed. We made a decent showing. I never thought we'd win. Even when we went up, I didn't think we'd win. So I was not emotionally invested in that game. To me, it was never a possibility. It was like finding, alien life on Pluto, as far as I'm concerned. It's just not even a possibility to win that game, in my opinion. And so, thus, it did not bother me one bit that we But I would like to point out, even though you, Jerry, host of the Jerrycast, say that you knew, you thought we would get annihilated. I did too. So if you thought that, why were you so mad when we came in within, I don't know, what, 2 points?
Yeah. Big, huge football fan. Trent Flubbs has no idea what the score was. Anyway, listen. And again, this is yet another thing that you've missed from paying more attention to your real life than Twitter, which, again, I have major issues with, neither here nor there. I had a meltdown, and there were a couple Tennessee fans on there that were giving me quite a hard time about being a poor fan. And I believe you did via text. You called me some names. I'm not going to repeat them because kids listen to this podcast. But they weren't very favorable toward old Jerry. But here's the thing. I was very proud of how we played. Listen, you went to Tuscaloosa and you went toe-to-toe with arguably one of the top three teams in the country. I don't think Alabama played their best, but that's not our problem.
No.
You're still going against – very, very good athletes. Perhaps one of the best. I mean, one of the best college football coaches of all time. I think Tuscaloosa is massively overrated as a town. I think it's a dump. But the environment, it had to be loud, and you probably should have won the game. So I can't be too mad at that. It was simply that it was another example of us losing a game that once the ball was kicked, we should have won. You need one defensive stop. You can't get it. It's just those things that haunted me against Oklahoma, against Florida. They came right back. I want to talk about it, kind of the season going forward. My mood has changed a little bit, but at the time, that was tough.
You know,
at the end of the day, it's Alabama. I'm not old, but I'm old enough to remember how much I hate those bastards. I can't stand them. So that had a lot to do with it, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we just weren't going to stop them on that final drive. I mean, it's no different than Travis Henry against Arkansas in 98. They weren't going to stop us. We weren't going to stop Henry on that drive. I mean, and that's just how it is. That's just where things are at this point in time. I think things are changing. I think by next year. But, and I know we're going to get to this, but that 2016 schedule, I mean, that had me spitting fire today. That's outrageous.
No excuses. We'll get to that in a second. No excuses, though.
Okay, but, I mean, we weren't going to stop him on that drive. That game was over. It doesn't bother me. Just doesn't bother
Trent, let's look at the rest of the season. You play just an absolutely hilarious football program on Saturday in Kentucky.
Yeah.
I feel like every year – there's like four or five of them that come on Twitter, and it's like the four or five like football fans that they have, and they have access to the internet, and they act like, I mean, every year, oh, this is the year, Tennessee, oh, you guys suck, yeah, and then we go put like a 60 ball on them, and we move on. That was, spoiler alert, that's going to happen again on Saturday. They're going to their blackout thing. Yeah, we're absolutely destroyed. They suck. Okay, they're terrible. We're gonna go out there and do a blackout thing. Do they still sound like the air raid thing back in the tent, like they did in the Tim Couch? You remember that? They were air raid 2002, and we just beat the absolute hell out of them. I remember that. That was fun. But they're gonna get all right. We're gonna kill them. What scares you? The crafty pickles in Missouri? Is that the game you have to worry about going forward? I mean, we should win each game by double digits.
Pickles always scares me because Pickles is scary because he's very good. He's good at what he does.
They suck.
South Carolina still scares me for some reason, and I don't know why, because they're not good at all. Kentucky doesn't scare me. They are the most. When I think of those black uniforms, I mean, and they're not doing it like, I mean, it's like they're changing official colors to black or something. That just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But you're talking about Tuscaloosa. You know who I bet has never watched a game in Bryant-Denny Stadium? Wesley Gullett. I bet he has never stepped foot in that stadium. But we're going to kill Kentucky. going to kill him. I mean, it's not going to be close. Jalen Hurd is going to have a monster game. And, man, is he a beast or what? He is my favorite University of Tennessee player probably since Al Wilson.
Imagine that wrecking ball behind our offensive line next year. I mean, look at how good Jack Jones and Chance Hall have looked. I mean, you're hearing great things about Richmond out of practice and around people around the program. I mean, that offensive line is going to be exponentially improved next year. I think Kamara is going to come back. I hope he does. I hope Kamara comes back.
Yeah,
he's going to be a beast. And that guy, I think Jalen Hurd's a day one NFL starter, but keep going.
No, he's terrific. Jalen Hurd is absolutely terrific. I love watching Josh Dobbs play, man. He scares me to death. I always think he's getting ready to fumble or throw an interception. But, I mean, honestly, this sounds so cliche. It sounds like something my dad would say. Could you ask for any better representative of your university than having Josh Dobbs at quarterback and him playing well? He's not a good university if he sucks. I mean, not a good representative if he sucks, because who cares about a sucky quarterback? But he doesn't suck. He's good.
Yeah, and I mean, he's going to be on like Jupiter in 2 years. I mean, he's going to go on and be like incredibly famous, and we're always going to remember he played quarterback for us. Absolutely. So you go Kentucky, you beat them. South Carolina scares you, should beat them. North Texas, they lost by 30, like 40 to a D2 team. At Missouri, the ever crafty Gary Pickles, you got to worry about that one. Vanderbilt, I've seen some people talk, listen, we're going to beat the hell out of Vanderbilt too. Don't worry. You've got the 9-8 stamp of approval on that one. So let's say you do what you should, which obviously for Tennessee fans the last, I don't know, decade, thinking about rattling off five straight is quite a stretch, but in theory we absolutely should. So let's say we do that, finish season 8-4, say you go to the Chicken Bowl, play some ACC team or at-large team, win that one, lose that one, none of them matter, 8 or 9 wins. I mean, can you beat – yeah, there are a lot of what-ifs, but we used to not even have what-ifs. Right. I mean, so I think we've come a decent way so far. Can you be that mad at 8 or 9 win season?
I can't, because I'm realistic. You know, you probably can.
Oh, I'll find a way. Sure, absolutely. Go ahead.
No, I think that if you finish out, if you win out, you know. I don't see – it's not the best season. It could have been a terrific season. It could have been great. It could have been all time, to be honest with you. I mean, we're not that far away from – like everybody knows, we're not that far away from being undefeated. I mean, it's ridiculous how close we are to being undefeated. And we're –
what
are
we, 17,
are we like?
17 points?
Something like that. I don't pay that much attention. Points. But, I mean, it's pretty close
to that. Not.
So
I was talking. I was talking about that. You know what? The team that actually legitimately like beat us on the field that just looked like they were better, and I mean they're not, but Arkansas was like the team that like kind of beat us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we look better in Oklahoma,
yeah.
We look better in Florida, we look as good if not better in Alabama. As an irrational fan who's been given a Twitter login, yeah, I'm gonna be angry. Compulsive, say things I don't mean. I'm like a child, right? So I'll say things I don't mean, and then I'll go through that like phase where I'm like, you know what, man, I wish I didn't say that. How embarrassing! You're an idiot. I'll make fun of myself, and then I'll have like a moment of clarity. I'll bring it all together, just in time for the game next week. And I think that's where I am. I'm at peace right now. Now, Butch, listen, I know Butch listens to this podcast.
Hey, Butch.
Hey, what's up, Butch? You lose one of these next five or whatever. I mean, look, we're going to have a different podcast. It's probably going to be one we're going to have to delete. I think you went 8 or 9 this year. You can't. I mean, you can say what if, but overall, and the most important thing, the recruits are going to remember that you beat Georgia, and how you did it in those just heinous uniforms. And then they're gonna remember basically from like the end of October forward, you won every football game you played. You can recruit, you can sell that, you can absolutely sell that. And like you said, going into next year, we still need a little more depth. So let's talk about next year's schedule. What has you spitting mad over next year's schedule?
I mean, you're playing Georgia, Florida, Alabama, and A&M consecutively. I mean, who does that? I mean, I don't know that we have any veto power over our schedule, and I don't know how that works, but, I mean, can Dave Hart not somewhat protest that four-game stretch? Can we not get a North Texas in there or maybe a bye week or something? I mean, that's ridiculous.
I'll have to go to the –
you know,
go.
What are the chances that you get through that four-game stretch undefeated? I mean, like 1%?
Now I don't have my Texas instrument on me. I'm not sure. I do think that we're better than all those teams you named, except for maybe Alabama in terms of talent. Listen, Jim Mackel, whatever, proven to be a pretty good coach, it appears. They lose some stuff coming off from that, you know, going into the offseason. I don't think they're going to be, like, in terms of talent, I don't think they're going to be better than us next year. They come to Knoxville again. I don't think I'd had relations with a woman the last time we beat them. So I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that, like, that's a game we're going to win, because I've said that for 11 years. But on paper, that's a very winnable game. A&M, I think I want to say that someone may be kind of getting exposed as a touch of a fraud. And I'm, you know, at A&M, I can't wait to make that trip. That's going to be a fun game to go to. B, in terms of talent, we're better than them. Alabama's Alabama. It's going to be a tough game. Yada, yada, yada. Who's the other team? Georgia? They suck. We beat them this year. Why can't we go beat them again next year? We're going to beat them.
I don't think Mark Richt sticks around. But I was having relations the last time we beat Florida, but I haven't talked to the girl in a decade. So that shows you how long it's been.
Do you think that was because of the performance or what?
Absolutely not, Jerry. I think you know better.
No, okay. Yeah, well, I mean, your reputation precedes you for sure. Trent Flubb, listen, I've got a fantasy draft to get to, a very serious Twitter fantasy draft. I've got 40 minutes. I've got to get the lab and scheme. Is there anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, let's wrap it up.
Are you coming back to Twitter?
We'll see if we beat Kentucky, then there's a good chance I will.
No, I don't want a good chance. I want it when the clock strikes zero against Kentucky. If we win that game, listen, I've been tasked to bring you back to Twitter. You and I, we know that loyalty is everything, and it's board above everything. Now it's Twitter above everything. Listen, we've been through a lot. We've gone through a lot of message boards, a lot of regrettable posts, a lot of laughs, a lot of cries, a lot of things together. I'm asking you as a friend, in front of me, you, God, and these 13 people listening to this podcast right now, will you come back to Twitter if the Vols beat Kentucky?
No.
You made me say all that shit for you to say no.
Yeah, I'll come back.
He's coming back. Vols beat Kentucky. Trent Flubb is back. You heard it here. Shower me with all your praise on Twitter, Trent Flubb. Anything you want to say on the way out the door?
Go Vols.
Go Big Orange. Let's do it next week for Donnie Temple.
Okay.
Clubs. I'm whatever you want to call me this week. We out.
All right, see you.
Ready? There you go.
Hey, I put on for Tennessee. I'm here. The solution has arrived. I put on for Tennessee. I put on for Tennessee. Like this, I had to speak for mouth, just like roughly. Told him I'm gonna put it on. Yes, I'm in Tennessee. I ain't really playing, got the ball, yeah, full of good. You gon' catch me throwing alley hoops and Tony Smith. You ain't gotta worry about that. Don't forget about the Arab American hop skin. Be amazed, this thing. It's a lot of things that I've been through, and you can't get me out of my rhythm. Let the vibe holler at my man Wayne Chisholm and tell him throw it down. I'ma put it on your block. If you bring it to the rim, yeah, Cameron block a shot. I ain't playing, can't forget it, but my man Cam Tatum. Y'all better stop playing. Y'all some potatoes. We gon' run the SEC. You don't wanna play with me. Got my cousin right here. What you trying to do? I've been working on my game. Yeah, kid, got flow. Left Oklahoma alone. Did my thing in JUCO. Player of the year in the conference. Game marching. Look at my feet. Nothing on them, but I'm steady marching. You can see I pulled over Tennessee. And I'm the only 10 that you see. Can't forget, can't wait for the season. Promise a championship, can't wait to the season. With Tennessee, I put over Tennessee. I put over Tennessee. I put over Tennessee. I put on. I put on. I put over Tennessee. I put over Tennessee. I put over Tennessee. I put over Tennessee. I put on. Yo. Call a cat defense, better watch out for Josh Tapp, cause he gon' strap it up, and I'm gon' wrap it up, and it's gon' be like Shy Sky, cap it up. This is what we do. If you talk trash, man, we coming for you. Right here, we have no fears, there is no exception, I'm a volunteer. Why you mad at me, cause I got an orange and white, but I don't think wanna start a fight tonight. I ain't playing cause this team is just the best. And that shout out to the point guard Daniel West. Cause he gon' break you up and he gon' shake you up. And what he don't do, I'ma make it up. Cause this is what I do. And yeah, I'm talking to you. And everything I say, best believe it is true. Is y'all mad at me? Is y'all crazy? Can't forget about my man Big. From the NYC, that's New York City. And y'all mad at me, better get on committee. And Little Pearl, I'ma rock your world, cause we gonna press. Thanks to Coach Pearl, say you better watch out. You know what we about. And I'm about to lounge like I'm chilling on the couch. I am the resolution, am the solution. And all of you haters, it's just pollution. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. We coming for that championship.